What a joy to be with you on this Sunday, particularly in our church calendar, Christmas morning. And my prayer is that what I have to share would not only deepen your joy, but particularly for the children and those of us who love our children, these few reflections, and they are few, will not only connect with them and connect with you, but be good news as we celebrate together Christmas this morning. I'm going to be reading from the announcement of the angel from Luke's Gospel, chapter 2, beginning in verse 1 of chapter 2, and then Paul's interpretation or reflection is probably the better word that he records in his letter to the Galatians, and then I'm going to pray for our time together. So this is God's word. This is what Luke recorded regarding the birth of Jesus Christ in Bethlehem. Luke chapter 2, beginning in verse 1. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration. Von Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because Joseph was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth, and she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. Verse 10, and the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." And now from the Apostle Paul, beginning in chapter 4 of Galatians, three simple verses. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, "Abba, Father." So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. This ends the reading of God's word. Let's pray. Lord, you were pleased to send your Son to us that he might dwell among us and give to all who would receive him a new kind of life. We pray, Lord, that as we consider briefly not only the announcement of the angel that the one born in Bethlehem is indeed the promised Savior, but the reflection of one of his followers, that through him we do receive a new kind of life. Christmas this morning would ring in new joys as we consider him again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. One of our traditions, I guess you could call it, as a family this month has been to each Friday night watch a particular holiday movie favorite. Normally they would be classics, but not all. And I'm sure many of you have your favorites and your classics that you watch this time of year as part of your celebration. Recently, we watched a movie that up to this point I hadn't associated with the Christmas season, only to realize as we watched the movie that indeed it does contain some Christmas cheer, and that would be The Lion, The Witch and the Wardrobe, the movie depiction of the C.S. Lewis opening book from the Narnia of Chronicles. One of the scenes we're about to watch, it's a very brief excerpt, has one of the stars, the young children who are the main featured actors and actresses from the movie, discovering a very large wardrobe in the home where they were staying that wintertime. And if you know the story, you know that this wardrobe, this very large walk-in closet, if you will, for little Lucy, young Lucy, introduces her to a whole new world, a real world, but nonetheless a whole new world that she had never crossed over into before. Watch the depiction, and then we'll make a connection as we consider Christ entering our world through his birth. Enjoy. Lucy Pevensey was given a gift through a wardrobe to enter a new world. And in that new world that was as real as her world there in England, the new world being Narnia, she made new friends like Mr. Tumnus the Fawn and Mr. and Mrs. Beaver. But she met in Narnia one who lives in all worlds, Aslan, who goes by many names. In our passage this morning, we were told that in another time and in another place, Jesus Christ was born in Bethlehem. The angel's announcement in Luke chapter 2 says that the baby that was born to Mary would be good news of great joy for all the people, for he is a Savior who is Christ the Lord. As we consider, children, with me, the meaning of Christmas, each of you has received, I'm sure, this morning, and there at home, gifts. They may not look like my gifts, but I imagine your gifts at your house have wrapping paper on them, and whatever these are that fall off when you open them, and ribbons, and wrapping paper, and even a name tag that has your name on it. For Christians who remember the birth of Christ, they are remembering that they too have been given a gift. And the gift that they have been given is the baby boy named Jesus, born in Bethlehem. Now, can you imagine if I were in your house and it were Christmas morning and you said to me, "Mr. Evans, we're so glad you're here. We're going to, in a moment, go downstairs and open presents." And I said, "Oh, that sounds wonderful. Where do we go?" And you say, "Well, we go down into the living room where the tree is or the lights are or where the presents are." And I go, but instead of going where the presents are, I look for the gifts in the basement. Or I don't go where the gifts are and I look for the gifts in the garage. Or I don't go where the gifts are and I look for the gifts in the refrigerator. Although there can be gifts in refrigerators on Christmas morning, I'm sure. Christmas from the Bible reminds us that God tells us where the gift is to be found. It's to be found in the insignificant city of Bethlehem, because there a baby was born who is Christ the Savior. So that's my first little thought as we reflect this morning, is that God has given you and I a gift, and he has told us where we can find it and who he is when we do find it. We find him in Bethlehem, and his name is Jesus. But the second point, maybe more important as the first point, is that We have to receive the gift in order to believe, and in believing the gift, receive him and the adventure that he intends to take us on. Paul, in reflecting on the birth of Christ years later, said in his letter to the Galatians, chapter 4, that when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of woman, born under law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. In other words, the gift that God gives you and me, we have to receive it in order to believe in the good news that he is. If you were to give me this gift with my name on it, oh, it's so well wrapped, isn't it? And it just sparkles, doesn't it? But I never were to open it and see what's inside, you would probably say, could I have the gift back? Right? I can use that. Or if I were to give you a gift and it were wrapped and it had your name on it and you weren't to open it and receive it, you wouldn't have the joy that I intended to have you when I gave it to you. This Christmas, Christ comes to us in the announcement, and he invites us not only to believe that Jesus was born, and he was, but to receive him by believing in him and what he was born to do. And you know what he was born to do? One of the things he was born to do was to give you faith in him. So like Lucy, you would begin an adventure into a new world, into a new place with new friends that exist just as real as this. But it's for him. When Paul says to the Galatians that Christ came to redeem them from under the law, I mean, that's language that your parents can break down later after you've eaten your Christmas breakfast. But he says he did that, Christ did that, in order to make us part of God's family. And in making us part of God's family, begin a new adventure with God through a relationship with his Son, where we would know him as our Father, and he, through giving us his Spirit, we would know Christ as our Lord. But it requires you and I to do something that many purportedly Christians don't do. They don't enter the wardrobe. They don't enter the world God has called them to begin the adventure. They're told God loves them. They believe Jesus was born for them, but they don't, if you will, by faith receive him into their hearts and then, but like opening the gift, begin to walk out with him a relationship, a new adventure, a new world through becoming his children. One thing God did through Christ his Son that made this adventure all the more miraculous is he did something we couldn't do for ourselves, so that when we enter the wardrobe, when we begin our journey with Christ, we would never have to do this. The baby who was born in Bethlehem, as we watched him grow up, he obeyed his parents completely, 100%. He submitted to his parents as teenagers completely, never departing from their wishes or their ways, so that when he became an older person and he would later die as the Savior of the world, he could receive upon himself as our Savior the condemnation and the punishment due sins. For when we don't obey God and our parents, and we don't submit to our parents and to God in any way, so he received what we deserved in order that in dying and being raised again on Easter Sunday, he could give to you and I the gift of faith to believe that our sins are forgiven through a relationship with him and begin a new adventure of life, walking with Jesus as those who have been rescued by him. So I want to encourage you, if you're not a Christian or you're not sure, this morning by reminding you that God has a present for you. Your name is on it. It says your name. And to open that gift with your parents there, and in opening that gift, not only believe that Jesus was born, but receive him by saying to him, Lord Jesus, I receive you as my Savior, please forgive me, and now take me on this adventure with you today. And if you are a Christian, or you say you are, have you entered the wardrobe? Have you crossed over? I grew up in a tradition, and this is, kids, where I'm using words that you may not understand, that told me on Christmas Sunday, God loves me, my sins are forgiven, and the Bible is true. But they never talked about some of these other things, where I needed to make a decision to not receive him, but confess to Jesus that I didn't obey my parents when I was young. I didn't do what God told me to do. That made me a sinner and therefore guilty of his judgment. But Christ died to deliver me from that. That's what Paul is saying. And in believing that and receiving that, I discovered that better than a wardrobe, although that wardrobe does look exciting, I was beginning a new adventure through relation. But I crossed over. There was a decision that was made. There was faith that was exercised, albeit a gift from God. And through it, I came to realize that because we are sons, God has sent the Spirit into my heart, by which I now cry, Abba, Father. Are you his son? Are you his daughter? Have you crossed over? Better than a wardrobe in the adventure of Narnia, Jesus entered your world by becoming like you in order to call you this morning to receive him, and in believing in him, begin a new adventure. Here's the promise for you and I. But to all who did receive Jesus, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. In Christ Jesus, the fullness of God was pleased to dwell with us, to give a new kind of life to all who have been rescued by him. Let us respond to him in faith this morning and thank him through these songs we're about to sing, that he was pleased to dwell among us in order that we would receive him, and receiving him, we would cross over from death to life into a new adventure through a living relationship where he is Lord. And I almost forgot to say, because Christ gave himself to us as a gift, and the Father gave us Christ as a gift, and the Spirit is given to us a gift, At the end of the service, children in the back, you're going to see that there's a package with your name on it. Your name, not your parents, not mine, that is a gift from us to you. Pastor Dave's going to give you instructions at the end of the service so you get your gift and not my gift. But receive this not only as an expression of our love for you, but to remind you that on this day, December 25th, the greatest gift that you've been given is not found in the little bag in the back, although they are dandy. It's found in the baby born in Bethlehem. Receive him and receive this. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the joyful news that we can decide today to receive Christ Jesus as our Savior. Thank you, Jesus, for your birth. It is truly humbling to each of us that you were pleased to dwell, as the writer to the Colossians says to us, among us, because of your great love for us and your desire to deliver us, not only from the guilt and the judgment that we deserve, but rescue us to a new relationship to be enjoyed through the Spirit who indwells us, that cries out every day, Abba, Father, and reminds us that Emmanuel, Christ Jesus, is with us today. And if we haven't, Lord, decided to surrender all to you, I pray that these closing songs, the songs of Christmas joy, would give to us the faith to not only receive Christ, but surrender all to him. And in so doing, enter the wardrobe of your grace, your mercy, the kingdom of Christ. We pray this in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Let's stand.